So go is a very powerful word. A command, actually. There are days in my mind where I think, where am I going? What's the plan for the church service today? How do I get there? And do I even have the energy to do my to-do list today? Go is a very important word at track meets, NASCAR races, and in sports they use a whistle to help blow and tell people when and where and the timing of where to go. Go is the word in my mind that's been rattling around for months now. Sometimes I feel like a crazy man. Go, 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 go! Why is the Holy Spirit speaking to me and to us today about this very powerful word? Jesus commands go to us. And I want to read some scripture on this very important go of our lives today. So please turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. It is page number 989 of your pew Bibles, if you want to pull that out in front of you, or follow on a tablet or device, or it'll be projected behind me as well. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus says, go. Whoa, that's a little too powerful. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. This is the most important go of our Christian lives. So let me set the stage a bit. Reading the verse in full context, Jesus was crucified. He died and he was buried. Death and Satan seem to have won. The disciples are sitting around questioning, was it all real? What do we do now? How can we go without Jesus? In the scripture, a joyful Mary comes running in and says that an angel has told her that he is risen, that he is alive. Could it be? Could Jesus still be alive? No. Better than that, he was resurrected from the dead, accomplishing something that no one has ever done. And finally, we met up with Jesus in verse 16, and it reads, if you want to follow along with me, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came again and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. Amen. And that's the end of Matthew. No more book of Matthew. The end. Well, and the beginning. The moment that Jesus captures here with his disciples is a critical moment. What words will they remember? What things will they pass on? It all starts with the word go. Don't just sit sulking, disciples. Don't you remember everything that I taught you? Go, disciples, go! Next, we know that Jesus then ascended into heaven, and the disciples went on to accomplish and are still accomplishing that mission set out by Jesus because they dared to go. If I reflect on Matthew, Jesus saved the most important thing, that mission, at that most important, emotional, critical time, having prepared the disciples through the lessons he had taught them for years, to go. So this is the start of my two-week series on the Great Commission. Couldn't have planned it any better that the Bagley shared the same verse 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you guys remember that. I had no idea they were going to do that, but they're missionaries. It makes sense because they're on that mission to go. And God has commissioned all of us as His disciples and followers to share that gospel message to the people around us. For us to go into the world, for us to share about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And why we call Him Savior. Now, missionaries may have a call to go to speak to certain people groups or certain countries or certain regions. But I'm going to challenge you today that Jesus has called you and planted you where you're at for this very important mission. If we read the scripture again, calling us, God is calling us to go and make disciples through baptism and teaching. And my challenge to you today is, do you do this in your Christian walk? If we look back at the disciples, the word doubt creeps up in that scripture. Now, again, a few series ago, guess what? There's this whole big thing about doubt. Doubt affects our faith. It impacts our inner being to say what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And doubt can prevent us from doing some great things. I believed in those moments that disciples felt unprepared. I think they felt unequipped. And I know that the death of the person that they had been doing ministry with for several years discouraged them. And they begin to question whether they could even go on. Have you ever felt that with evangelism? The doubts creep in. I can't do that, Pastor Andrew. That's for those outgoing people. No, Pastor Andrew. I can't share those things. What if I make a mistake or trip over my words? Or even worse, what if I share that I'm a Christian with other people and they judge me? The go takes boldness. The go takes faith. It says to us that we need to step out into the arena that God has given us to share the gospel. And God has given us many arenas around us. Family, friends, our neighbors, our jobs, our apartment complex or hospital or wherever we are at. God has put you there, has orchestrated that for a reason. And that's where ministry starts. The message that I'm preaching to you today is that God has called us to do more with our Christian faith. The fulfillment of this scripture is that God has prepared you to share this gospel message in your own unique and special way. He doesn't want you to miss those windows of opportunity that pop up because of doubt or because of feeling unprepared or having questions about your own faith. God wants you to share despite of those things. God wants you to be a disciple. In one verse, look at the disciples. They're doubting in one verse and in fear. They don't know what to do. A few verses later, they go and they change the world. Verse 20 tells us why. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The difference is Jesus. their feelings lied to them. He was there the whole time. They weren't able to see it. After spending years with Jesus, they still didn't understand until he had to come back and say, "Hey, go, disciples!" To put it differently, to take some words from my past, Jesus is alive, and that makes all the difference. He's alive right now. He reigns right now. He is with you when you are sharing in those moments. And you can rely on His strength, and that Spirit inside you's strength to share. And the more we are connected to God in our own faith, the easier it is to fulfill this call that God has put on our lives. My wife and I were talking the other day, and she said she had a friend that she's just like, I'm sitting next to her, and I know she doesn't know Christ. And we've been, you know, hanging out, whatever, for months and things like that. How do I just say, do you know Jesus, to her? Now, every situation is different. And again, I believe God prepares each person in their own unique way to share those things. And so I told her, you should share that you know Jesus. Share that you know God in your heart. And see if this leads to who Jesus is and why he did what he did and all of those things. Because that's where we need to focus. Where Jesus is. But no matter the situation, whether it's that person in the grocery store line behind you or wherever it is, God knows that you are enough to help that situation. The gospel doesn't require right words or tactics. It requires faithful people who are willing to share it. When God is in it, He will do the rest. I want to share with you another passage about what Paul says about sharing the gospel to the church in Corinth. So, if you still have your Bibles around, you're welcome to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It is page 1139 of the Pew Bible, if you need that. And it'll also be projected behind me. But Paul shares this to the church in Corinth. He says, in verses 1 through 5, chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you. This is what Paul preached to them, okay? Which you have received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. And this is it. This is what he preached. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried. And that on the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. Then he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. So, what is the gospel? I have heard that the gospel is about us. That my sins are forgiven. That I need to share my testimony. Because if people can see me, they'll be saved. The gospel is just about getting souls into heaven so that they can be saved. And Jesus came to save souls. Now, some of these statements are true. But look at what Paul is saying is of first importance in this passage. Christ died for our sins. Christ was buried. Christ was raised. All according to the Scriptures. Christ is alive. Paul knows that his life is meaningless without Christ. that foundation of someone else's faith is built on more than just my experience. It's built on the foundation of Christ. The gospel is about Christ, not about us. It's not just about saying right words to get in heaven. Christ is the message. So, introverts out there like me, good news. I just need to share Christ. I don't need to share my whole life story and everything that's ever happened to me, though that may come out as part of the natural process of what God's done for me. But I need to share the gospel. I need to share these things with people around me. If someone died this week, you may hear about it. You may go to their funeral or send condolences. But if someone was resurrected, you'd be sharing that to everyone around you. You'd post it on Facebook and your Twitter feeds and your Instagram. Wow, look at what just happened. Because it's such good news. It's such a miracle. And this is what happened 2,000 years ago, and we're feeling the echoes of that ringing throughout history. Christ is alive. The disciples had no idea, and they were awestruck in those moments. They didn't know what could happen. God Himself had to come down to earth, had to become man, die, and be buried in the tomb. Christ's resurrection is what we are preaching to others. Jesus is alive, and that makes all the difference. It makes the difference because it makes a way for us to understand that we can partake in that resurrection. That a way has been formed for us to be able to get to heaven. But more importantly, Christ's story is about a God who cares enough for all of this to happen. Christ's story is about a God who cares enough to take on temptation, take on the sins of the world, take on anything that they can throw at them, and still reign victorious. Jesus is alive, and that makes all the difference. Paul is saying this to the passage in Corinth. By this gospel you have been saved. To know Jesus as a Messiah, to understand what this means for all. Our gospel message is not fire insurance preventing us from hell. The foundation of our Christian faith is built on the rock of the resurrection of Christ. The natural product of that is salvation. And our faith journey continues to push us to understand that it is more about Christ and less about us. Our call is to go and share that with others, that they can start a Christian journey with deep faith. And I think it comes first with surrender, that we humble our hearts, that we pray for those opportunities to come about in our lives. And if we humble ourselves before God, He knows He can orchestrate that stuff for us to happen. And He can help us share with boldness that one word that person needs that day, that one word of encouragement, or that one person to ask you that question to say, why are you so happy today? How do you have so much peace? What's going on? Well, it's that Jesus inside me, guys. That's why. And I can start those conversations. So as we surrender ourselves, as we submit and trust to God to be able to help accomplish these things. The worship team wants to come up. I have a few more things to talk about, but I have a 2-week series, which is great. And so I covered one word of the 36 words so far in the scripture that I have. And my goal will be next week to cram the rest of the 35 in. But to be honest, going forward next week, make is the most important word in this passage. Make is what God is helping us to do. Make disciples. Go is about the boldness that we need to have, the zeal, the getting over ourselves, the getting out of ourselves to be able to say those statements. But make is where it's going to be at for our growth and our depth in Christ. So please come back and join me next week as I preach more on the Great Commission. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for helping us today, helping to speak into our hearts, Lord. Help us to be bold in our faith. Help us with this boldness to surrender to you, to rely on you in these moments. It is scary, Lord, to be a Christian in the world today. Help us to know how to best represent you, how to be a disciple of Christ, and how to win souls for Christ. Help them to know that we are Christians by our love. Help them to know Jesus. Amen.